As well as everybody is here, as you know, that we have quite a very tight program this morning. There's a request that the Deputy Minister is not going to be on. He has to give a decision to go and attend some other event matters. Therefore, we are going to exclude him, but he can't beg him again. As we separate during the course of the day, we will be engaging on the issues that the society is waiting on. Issues of the communication and the community. So, once we have that explained, I will say, so as to really try to look at the achievements, the problems, and how we can resolve some of the issues that are still of the society in that area. You recall very well in the last budget hearing, the debate therefore in the House, a number of announcements were made around some of the issues that are being discussed. And we want to engage around those issues for a paper, looking at the report, the annual report of the resources that are going to be affected by whatever is going on. But at the same time, I want to acknowledge the IEC, our mother board colleagues. Acknowledging at the same time, you know, appreciate the work, wonderful work that you've been doing, and the difference of their view on a day-to-day basis, you know, your own. You've been making a lot of impact in the country and in the country, and you influence international laws and nobody at the end. And we really appreciate those wonderful days in the scholarship. And to congratulate Mamu Palma, I know that she's been given many awards, in fact, the last award, I saw it was the honor of, I think it was the honor of the Fashion Announcement, but to really appreciate lots of the, you know, the wonderful dedication work that people have put in fact, in making sure that the life of our people can support our community and are in the way the most of the The work of the IEC will engage around the issues. We never had a problem at the IEC, but most of the time when we engage with them, the IEC are very clear. Very clear, the accounts, you know, the programs are very clear and all of that. But there are certain issues that they will want to raise the members and try to get some funding there. On that note, without waste of time, because I know that the ones that have taken that one can take another hour. I want to advise. The Deputy Minister, just to say a few words. As you know, that this is the second procedural committee meeting. The first meeting should say that so this is the second procedural committee meeting, therefore, we want just to have the machine of our leadership in the department to know how things are there. Therefore, I'll give you an opportunity here. I will say a few words immediately when we're done with that vocal call.
Honorable members and representatives of the IEC, the government, including WEC and the FCP and the other I suppose, as the chairperson indicated, because of time, I have requested to the excuse and therefore won't say much except to welcome the engagement that is going to take place between the portfolio committee as well as the deep institutions that serve under our department. We engage with them in the context of the ongoing challenges of home affairs, which I am confident to say will address the we will make the necessary announcements as time goes on about how we intend to tackle the challenges that we are facing.
But I also would like to apologize with the African minister that she is not here right now. She wants to get paid. I would be with her in one of the meetings you are having. But I'm sure that we can use an emergency fund. but I'm sure, Chairperson, that as soon as I finish with this engagement, which unfortunately I can't address, I will rejoin the discussion. And I hope it will be a robust and fruitful engagement with the and surely, or hopefully, affect the strength of the leadership. That is ability here from the IEC that you
thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much, sir. Yes, thank you.
I think that.
Thank you. On that note, therefore, members, we supposed to have received a presentation from IEC, the annual report, by look of things, if we're going to spend more time on some of the presentation other than some of the government system work. My proposal was going to be that we have to change the name of our structure. This is what we do our way. We're going to postpone government system. The reason is that we don't have a proposal like that. A government system work is and the person that we want to continue to think about it. Therefore, we may, in fact, want to spend some time around the issues that we are raising in government people, particularly in the current problems that we are facing to reconcile with the state education, these things are things that have been going on for the committee many years. And I think, as I said earlier, that this year, it's going to be a very, very good study. Not going to be a year when it comes to the end of the work I'm going. It's going to be very accurate at some point. It's going to spend more time to do the work. But you need to take a week to keep doing it. Therefore, let me invite the IEC to guide here to process some of these data and some of the information.
Democracy and people understand the concept of the fact that foundation. But then what happens after running a free and fair election? Everybody goes home, everybody has great hope. And what does that say to development, particularly in developing countries? Because you vote, you will be excited with your vote, and you could vote in that the vote might just not change your life a little bit. And that can be the direction of human rights and improvement because it's great thing that happens and so on. And the debate of representation will affect all of us across the board. And of course, political crisis operations around the world, the power of political crisis around the world may influence the nerve on foreign policy of countries. So we'll be looking at a number of groups and it's with all of us. And I do hope then that the members of this portfolio committee will come. Please make sure that on that day, just on today, Monday, just on today, or come, this is the Monday, next week. Next week, there will be training and education that we're going to be doing. Next week, convention center in the 23rd, 6th to the 7th of March. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's going to be a very, very important conference. Nobody is going to be here. We are in the process also of reviewing the organization. Maybe I should make reference to that. We have been in operation since 1997. We were established then and we have been on the road, a very exciting road, planning there in the upper 10 years, and we are hoping that we can have some celebrations this year, and that our celebrations will take the form of enhancing democracy and enhancing democracy and using the idea of the celebration for the awareness and information and understanding. Please, more of you who are interested now to understand about electoral systems. People have never read those questions 3 years ago. People just went on to understand. People are beginning to say, well, what are we doing on those kinds of things? And so the review will be looking at our own structure within the office, departments that need strengthening, things that need to be changed, the way we do legislation. Intensify training of staff, not only within the staff, but others that I'm saying, which is one of the things we again, since we are so involved globally, we really need ourselves to acquire more skills so that when we go to other countries, as we did in the last, we met other people who are performing in the field globally. And so we are strengthening that very much ourselves. We are extended and related to that is our Center for Election Planning, which will be a center that will concentrate on this kind of training and we might link up with our university on this. We have a lot of instructions that are related to that. That finally states that the DRC was our greatest event, which affected our own operations in terms of that time. Who had to give more time than we ever budgeted for because the plans were very different. As you know, there were changes all the time. We didn't always know when they would want our team to go there. Then we had the first round of elections and this country had to win the largest number of ballot papers ever in there. And this case with the biggest one is 982 names on the ballot paper. So we also saw things we have never seen, and when we arrived there, we didn't know how the people were going to cope with the six ballot papers and the clear logistics of that. And the trying to drive this tonnage, to another country. So it was really a great thing, and I must say that I found myself and many of us saluting every corner because when you went to the defense, you don't know the rent, so it's better than to salute everyone. Because you are relying on them to help you with the next advantage of the competence and the commitment of the African was absolutely amazing. In addition to our own team that went there, some of the companies in South Africa assisted us with the people who went to assist, especially with the area of the IT and the counting of the votes. And
Thank you. something that we are waiting on. Part of the problem that we have is that we don't have it on our actual
I was thinking, as you can hear, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I think there is a technical problem here. Can we get it for the town? Thank you.
Some associations have been committed to operational within the organization, and during the previous under review, one employee was found guilty of financial misconduct, and this is a I'm now proceeding to deal with strategic objective number 3, which is to prepare and maintain a high quality of the job, particularly in the for the 2006 municipal election, where our voters' roll contains 21 million registered voters. 51% of these registered voters were women, and this was, of course, a significant increase of our voters' roll from 80 million in 2000 for the 2006 election. As you know, we had 2 registration regions. We open all our voting stations to afford the voter opportunity to register and also to re-register in the event they can vote, and whether the registration was affected by those institutions. And then for the 2 registration weekends, which were published on the 3rd of September, 19th and 20th of September, we managed to register 1.5 million voters in each. This remains one of the most effective forms of this We have a slight presentation there of the geographic distribution of voting districts, and we know that one each election we increase our voting stations so as to make our voting stations accessible to our voters. And that slide is the changes in the number of our voting stations and voting districts since 1999. And you will see that we have steadily increased our voting stations. In fact, the slight presentation talks about the size of our presentation, which is the change of care, property, and our voting The next slide also looks at the number of rules from 2000, how they have been changed in this problem. We have the number of words as they were in 2000, as they were also in 2006. And we can see that
Thank you. 1,000 were party list candidates. 45% were female, and I think this is very well here because in the past I think the participation of women in 2000 was very, very low, and I think we can attribute this to the conference that we held with political parties before the 2006 election to get them to commit to ensuring that they will ensure that more women participate in the 2006 local government election. Also, good news, young people, 11,000 of them between the ages of 18 and 35 were candidates for that election. I think here, one of the challenges that we had as a chairperson administration was the compliance by political parties with all the legal requirements for registering to participate in an election. One of the things that we probably have to look at is that the law requires that political parties and candidates should pay their deposits, election deposits, by a bank guaranteed check. We then have to look at in this age of electronic banking, should we stick to this? Should we look at other methods of paying with deposits? And this is something that we need to apply our minds to and probably look at if we are in agreement to get possible changes. We also have very interesting situations where some political parties can show up with no bank, no cash, try and pay their deposit. But because we strictly apply the law, we don't even have the cash, and that leads to their disqualification. I continue with the strategic objective, strategic objective number 5. 932 candidates were disqualified from participating in the election, and the reasons were some of them were not on the voter roll, others were not on the correct segment of the voter roll because it is a requirement for local government elections, others did not submit prepared documents, or even because, as I have indicated, and 11 of the 389 wards were uncontested. And we work very well with party liaison committees at all levels, and our turnout was 48.4. We had aimed at 60%, and the HSRC survey that we did before the election also pointed to the fact that we might achieve the 60%, but because of the rain, our voter turnout was 48, which in our opinion is quite still good compared to the national benchmark for local government elections, but that does not mean that we have to complete I continue with strategic objective number 5, and I look at the by-elections that were held for the period under review. We held 36 by-elections. The number was low because, you know, the year was the lead up to an election, and usually the by-elections stop very close to an election. And these vacancies were due to the resignation of 30 councillors, death of 40 councillors, 4 councillors ceased to be members of the parties that nominated them, and 2 councillors were imprisoned, so they I also have a PowerPoint, a slide presentation there, of where the breakdown per province, per municipality, per ward, and per voting district of the number of by elections that were held between 1 April 2005 and 31st March 2006. Presentation speaks for itself. And the next slide looks at the changes in the number of women councillors who participated in the 76 by elections. I think it is encouraging to see that in fact the political parties substituted the women who used to be members with other women, which is a very good indication as well. I continue with strategic objective number 5, and here we also launched the Center for Elections Learning, as the chairperson indicated in the opening remarks, and we did this on the 26th July 2005. And our vision in establishing that center is to create internationally qualified election administrators who are an asset to the nation, to the continent, and to the world. And with the establishment of the Center for Elections Learning, we are trying to professionalize the training of our in a sustained way, so that we don't just do a hit and run training in the run of an election. And we have registered the unit standards so that we, with the South African Qualifications Authority, so that we can evaluate these officials of ours, and we're hoping that with time we'll be able to offer a course in election management in conjunction with institutions of higher learning, so that we can really produce a highly trained, highly efficient election administrators that can be used in this country and be used in other countries as well. We are making progress towards that. That is why we are able to share those expertise with our sister organizations in other parts of the country. And I have failed to receive the next. I now also continue with that strategic objective that says that that talks about the number of municipalities and how they are broken down. That's how they are broken down. The 283 are 6 metros, 231 local councils, and 46 local councils. And in these councils, we use 4 different ballot papers. During the previous elections, as we know that ward ballots were used for metros and local councils, ward PR ballots were used for metros and local councils, PR ballots for district councils, and PR ballots for district management areas. We do know that our local government electoral system remains complex, particularly for people who are not so educated. It means that for a local government election, there's always a need to step up our own education program. To ensure maximum political participation and inform voters on the electoral processes, as we know, for each election, we establish a national result center in FANI, at the FANI event center. We also establish result centers in all the 9 provinces. And we're doing that for purpose of making our processes transparent, so that political parties, all the stakeholders, can see our results as they come in. They can calculate. Political parties have access to a computer. They can even, if they want, calculate in advance and fix the number of seats that they will receive. So it's always quite an exciting environment. And the media also operates from there, and like in all other years, with the hype of activity, in our election centers. we're still dealing with Statistic of Census number 5. And in preparation for the local government election, we had our electoral democracy development and education program. And this included the school voter education program. That program is still continuing. We're still offering democracy education in school. As honorable members will remember, we started with a pilot project of 550 schools nationwide. We had hoped that after piloting and evaluating the project, we'll hand it over to the Department of Education so that they infuse the program in their curriculum and they teach children democracy education on a sustained basis. We have not been able to do that. The Department of Education, we are in conversation with them, but they have got many other competing programs, HIV and so forth and so on. So we have decided that we'll continue and do the program in a number of schools. We will expand the number of schools in which we're doing this school voter education. And in the meantime, we'll continue to talk to the Department of Education. We do voter education for by-elections. We have education for people with special needs, like disabled people. We have stakeholder management and outreach, smart education, as well as media education. And the next slide just gives us more information on the school voter education and the content of the course itself, what we offer, and eventually what we want to achieve. And democracy education, as far as that is concerned, we partner with faith-based organizations and civil society education organizations to talk about democracy education. We held conferences and national meetings. Women in Politics, I think, is one such national meeting which produced very positive results so far as participation of women in the local government elections concerned. We met with traditional authorities, trade unions, youth organizations, and with our young people, we joined the campaign to encourage young people to participate in the electoral processes, and to the young people themselves who came up with the jingle, the power of X. And remember, that's what we used for the 2006 local government election. Young people liked the power of X a lot. Power of X was very successful, and it actually won many awards, including the 8 Glory Awards and some international awards as well. So we think that young people did very well in coming up with that thing for the election. We also had the interaction with farming communities, and we signed a memorandum of agreement with them in terms of which we agreed on how they were going to assist in making sure that everybody in the farming community is given time off and can exercise their right to vote. The communication tool that we use was electronic media billboards, transmedia, and leaflets. And we had a public call center which received 385,000 calls from members of the public who wanted to find out about where they were registered and so forth. The website had 7.5 million hits of people who wanted to check where they were registered and so forth, and also had people who checked their registration details through SMS, quite a popular tool that a lot of people use to check their registration details. And people could also check their registration details at ATM to check where they were. I then proceed to share and do the specific objective number 6, to maintain and consolidate organizational systems and infrastructure in preparation for future elections. Stable and consistent infrastructure exists at our national office, at our 9 provincial offices and at more than our 300 local offices. And because of the effort that we put to look at the effectiveness of our system, for the 206 municipal elections, no outside intrusions were experienced with IT systems. Because at that point in time, when you have an election, people can hack into your system, you can have viruses coming in to distort your data. But we put effort to ensure that we had no intrusion. And we also improved our efficiency because we captured 52,000 results in 60 hours. Whereas in 2004, we captured 34,000 in 64 hours. So it means that our efficiency is increasing in that area. Still on strategic objective number 6, we had the number of IT services that were available for the public, the internet facility, and I registered the call center, and the voice response system, SMS, ATM facility, I've already spoken about that. Then we have strategic objective number 7, which is to operate and maintain sound financial management systems, including internal control. We believe that our financial control system functions effectively, and we implement all the recommendations given to us by internal and external auditors, and we submit monthly reports to the National Treasury on or before the 15th of March, as the law requires us to do. We introduced a number of years ago an electronic procurement system that we call e-procurement, and we do our tenders through the e-procurement system. This is a very effective and cost-cutting system because of the e-procurement system that we use, our budget for procurement has gone down. And before we issue any tenders, we go through stringent audits of companies before we award the contract, and we implement the National Treasury reporting requirements. We have an effective contract management system to ensure that we renew or we keep track and monitor our contracts. We have asset management system. We still have some challenges there with the asset management, especially as it relates to the movement of our handheld scanner when there is an election. And we have developed some skills for the supply chain management function, which is also functioning effectively. And the next slide just shows our commitment to budget economic empowerment for small businesses. For the year under review, 441 contracts were awarded, of which 339 contracts of about 6 million rand went to BEE companies. 90% of these, which were awarded through our e-procurement, went to BEE, and only 8.84 of the contracts were awarded to non-SMME. Regarding internal audits, we review sector reports to the National Treasury. We review and report on control and authorization process for procurement, conduct audits in selected MEO offices and all provincial offices. And our internal audit function also reviews our HR records and monitor asset verification. Funds received, we received 9.44 million from the state. We also had standard income of 19 million, which really came from interest end, and that brought the total income to 964 million. And all these funds have been accounted for and disclosed in the financial statements, and we received an unqualified audit report from the Inspector General for the last financial year. We continue to ensure that we manage our finance in a way that complies with the CSMA and the Treasury regulations. We continue to improve our financial management systems to ensure that they are integrated and views are frenzy and decried at all times continue to obtain unqualified reports from the auditor. In general, and our financial statements have been prepared statements of generally accepted accounting practice and with also GRAP, which has been placed. That GRAP is a generally recognized accounting practice. So that's the standard that is now used. And the financial statements have been prepared on a historical basis. As I said, we've been getting unqualified audit reports since our inception, and we also received an unqualified audit report for the 2006 financial year. Chairperson, honorable members, that's the annual report for 2005 and 2006.
Thank you very much. It was a wonderful presentation. Therefore, can we now call for, I see the number of hands, I'll start with this man, followed by, Baba Cake, then Kofi, Sandy, and Mr. Hedges. You can start with this man, then Baba Cake. But at the end of the day, you're putting out this parliament, but you should be on the CIO in your day for some time. I mean, what thing have you undertaken to rectify that? Then the second issue in relation to by shifting the system of the annual report with regard to international standards and so on, I think it would be helpful maybe the next annual report maybe to provide short summaries of what was the outcomes of these visits, not just the part of the foreign space, where like the visitors will say, like the thing that this thing in our Mexico, this was the points. Or maybe have, say, the papers available on the website. Otherwise, there's no use from the summary for the voting topic, because at the end of the day, they sponsor those ships. So, you know, it's just a list of names and ships, and so what? I mean, we as foreigners can't really do that. And then that might be one issue. I see that in one of the tables, in terms of sick leave of the institution, especially the middle management window is quite high, and now the 1.8 million in the past budget. Maybe you can explain what steps you have made to this rate. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for the question.
No, Chairperson, mine is, I fail to explain in our duty as a committee. I was very astounded by the report given by the chair of the commission. You know, sometimes it appears as if I'm here for the first time to realize the gravity of the work of the commission, the IEC, when Jefferson Bam, you were articulating the work you have put on things like the number of papers you printed and the number of sets and sets of material taken to ERP and the Comoros and the human resource involved. It really makes one think as a member of the committee that we have never really appreciated the way we should, how much the IEC has put the South African country on the map. It's sort of if I'm hearing this for the first time, and the goes with all the implicit and explicit costs that are involved in all these things. I felt I should express my appreciation for that wonderful work you have done for the country. The only remark I don't know that it's a statement or it's a question. The CEO spoke about the payment which is done electronically, which we are aware sometimes was a move of outcry. People went to court because they were called, they wanted to pay in time, they were stopped and so forth. Now, perhaps the CEO could explain as to why. My feeling is, you say the law requires that the money should be paid that way. But I'm saying, if I carry it by bed and go and pay the IEC, isn't that money? Or if I come to pay my check, isn't that money? Why say it should only by payment? But you're saying it's the law, so why shouldn't we grab that law? Because to me, it makes no difference how you pay the money. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Let me also align myself. By the chairperson to thank IEC for following the right channel when it comes to audit report. I will only deal, chairperson, with challenges. The first challenge is under page 32 of audit report, there is a place where you are training. Any training course. Thank you, Chairperson, Mr. Richard, Dr. Bam, for inviting us. The first time you invite portfolio committee. This is one of the challenges because you only consider home affairs when it comes to budget. But when it comes to your job description, somewhere we are ignored. Another challenge, Chairperson, is with regard to voting station infrastructure. In your report, you rightly say that they established that 26% of permanent structures do not have operating electricity. You install electricity during election. After election, it is removed. Why can't it remain permanent? Because it is from schools and traditional offices. They can maintain paying the rent for electricity. Another challenge, Chairperson, is with regard to by election for municipality. In many occasions, time frame are not considered. You find the law says within so many days, this post must be filled. In many occasions, it was not done so. Another challenge, Chairperson, coming to the question of on page 36, training of registration and election officers. Secondly, Chairperson, third challenge regarding this one, Chairperson. IEC, I don't know whether they tell or teach these presiding officers that Parliament have oversight over their daily work. Because when you go where they are training these people, you are not allowed to enter. That they say only IEC people are allowed to do so. It seems there is no guideline from your office to say Parliament has the power to, of all aside. Another challenge, Chairperson, on the voting day, this challenge of late arrival, especially in the rural area, late arrival of voting material is fixed. And those presiding officers, when they arrive there, they don't count these ballot papers as required by the law. They just started voting. I don't know if somebody can challenge the result of the election. How are you going to respond? Because if you did not check from the way to go, how are you going to say the total number of the votes delivered to this station was so many? Coming to another challenge is caused by under representation of females. I'm encouraging IEC not to do like the other departments where they used to violate the rules. After advertising the post of an advocate in your department, you may find they appointed somebody qualified with political studies or accounting studies at the point of an advocate. Thank you, Chair.
Can I correct that? Okay, no, no, thank you very much. Can we get the response from the comments from the government? For example, therefore, I think that response was a question for them. We take the client that not as a thank you.
only allows, as you know, registered party agents. But objection is not a problem, it's something that we need to bring our colleagues' attention. Late arrival of material that happens remains a challenge that we're working on. Not only that, this past election we also had a situation where wrong ballot papers were delivered to wrong voters because it's a local government election, but the local government election that has a huge impact where ballot papers for Ward A were delivered to Ward B and people voted on wrong ballot papers because some papers can be for Ward A can be different from a ballot paper for Ward B. And by the time we realize that, we're sitting in Pretoria because how the system works, somebody at local has seen that the attention of somebody has been until it can take up to us in Pretoria. And in some instances, we discover that mistake as they said, why it happened. Because in some instances, because of the late demarcation of wards, because wards were demarcated late, our officials could not read the map appropriately to see where the correct boundaries are. That is why in some instances the ballot papers were incorrectly distributed. These are the challenges that we are aware of, that we are working with daily, because I mean you find them in all the elections. Underrepresentation of women, I dealt
with that.
I don't know if anything
that I should add. Yeah, and the information center, to add a little bit on what our CEO has said, we have also a problem on women. We have in the last month, many women have lost, really senior women have resigned from the IEC. And I think there are two problems. One is the mobility of who are in the same position. Like in our case, some of the staff were recruited in 1998 have been in the same position until 2006. And that is the first crisis we have in the mobility. So because we have a system where everybody is on permanent post except the CEO. So that all the other staff who are there, we pray that one day so might just retire and resign so that we get a woman in the post. But that is really a problem. The second one is that these women then leave us because they are black women and relatives who have experience and competence are in demand in this country. And so naturally they leave us because they are waiting around and 8 years come, locomotion. So that also is another problem that we need to look at. How do we find a way of sustaining so that those who are there can see there are possibilities for a career and for them to move upward? The second problem was the international one. We have to confess to you, Chair, that when we established this environment, we never realized we would get the kind of demand we have. We were never, in fact, we had been a plan with our new judge who said we need to look at our act again because of the work now we are doing. There is no month that passes with us receiving visitors coming. Next week, I think we have Germans coming, and then the Malaysians are coming. And we have to time to meet people who are asked to give technical assistance almost everywhere. It's been more from Africa now, it's become very global, the UN is back on us, and so we will also be reviewing technical comments, our international department under the review, obviously expanding and be more focused whether we are able to cope ourselves with the demand, as I said, people are now making on us, because we were never structured that way, so I thought I needed to add that information to the CEO's report.
Thank you very much. We will take another round. But before we go to the next round, we have raised a very serious concern that to looming up, especially young people who are working there. And we have not elaborated that the programs that we can play, China, for that particular most of them are people who are not even close to what we are doing, but programs. Have you put in place to engage? Because I know that a lot of you unionized with the union, I think there's a forum that they recognize with staff. What programs do you have to really engage around this issue? Which in fact, very nice to say, today, say, put a lot of resources to change the system at some point, the another moment. And definitely, change the place of the commission. Therefore, let's count out the program around the level of trying to address. And it's just being exposed to this work, you know, a continental and a global level. We find that the people are fed up also. So when they come back, there is no support system that looks at the website of your own. But I think that's what they're like. I think it's obvious that we can appreciate the recommendation that we need to develop some kind of. The same applies in Parliament here, you know, that we always raise the concern over the welfare of members of Parliament, you know, maybe not even at a specific stage, given that particular challenge.
Yeah, thank you.
If I may, in our organization, we have a wellness program that looks at various aspects of wellness, psychological, physical, and other wellness issues. And we do have in the organization a checkup program of psychologists, which is in the threat to a program. But we were also briefly actually deciding, looking at how we can have an organization that can assist us. In addition to that, we do have regular educational programs that we have. We have an HIV policy, we have policies around health, like cancer awareness, and when we have those days, we actually do screening. We offer people opportunities to do screening and education around a particular topic, asthma, all those issues. And when we have people going to the CRC, Chairperson, we also spend a lot of money making sure that people are properly taken care of, malaria tablets, and every employee who went there went with a pack water purification tablets, everything that you need, a small first aid kit that every employee got. We are doing our best, but we think that what we really need to concentrate on is to have an organization that is a specialist organization that we can partner with to assist us. Because sometimes on health issues, people feel much more comfortable talking to people outside their common environment. That's when people will be able to be much more open about the stresses of health that they themselves and their families are encountering. So that's the program we have.
But it's very clear that they are not very much effective. That is why now we want you to say health and welfare. And that matter be there. Let me take the extra session. What would find this one by some care? Okay, you can take that night. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'd like to join my colleague to echo the recent sentiment. To thank maybe the Chairperson of the IEC once more about the role which the department is playing from local and international as well, but also to put more flesh that in future, like the people who are deployed maybe international, I'll put an example, I think they are, there is a need that they must go for induction. Because there are a lot of things happening there, it was very tough. When we arrived there, Continental was there. It took long to be integrated to other structures there. We were totally isolated so that they can stand for those environments and many more. And then, another thing which I'd like to raise is a concern already, Jose has touched it, is the issue of this permanent. The minister. So, this is you can really do it if it's 26% of 1,200, that is too much. And then, what I would recommend is that why would you prepare it now? Because those are permanent, because there is a difference between a permanent and an interim structure. Why don't you prepare them now, those 26, so that you can minimize the numbers too much? And then also, there is a thing which I like to raise the concern about the issue of the presenter, the colleague there, about 44 posts remaining vacant. You see, it is there is a challenge in defense. This site, you are having vacancies of about 44 people. The other times, you are having other people who are resigning. Therefore, something must be done. Because we can't accept it to leave the why we gave them enough budget to come and maybe minimize some of these problems. And then lastly, so this Chairperson is, I wanted also to applaud the role which they did about one employee found financial misconduct. I think that was correct. But the challenge is one to be this Richard Chairperson. I know that maybe that means sometimes it's very diplomatic.
Okay,
IEC, maybe the IEC, the section of the department, is very diplomatic when dealing with some of these issues. Some of these issues must be exposed. Why we are saying that is that there is a wrong perception which is given about it. Some of the sections as well as the department as a whole.
So I go back to the IEC.
No, the IEC, I'm not a lot of chairperson.
Or the commission.
Yeah, I think we must put it clear so that the thing must be known and because there's some people they don't know about the development, about the role we play to minimize problems in the architecture.
That's a very important point, that when the element of politics, you must expose it. It must not be something that is dealt with at the corner and then someone is arrested. It must be exposed so that those who may want to solicit it will definitely know that the innovation will be taken against the member of that. But obviously, it's a point that we may not want to elaborate but on the case itself, but the point that the member is making is that dealing with these issues is that must be exposed. Problems of officials at the Department of Home Affairs, which have the support documents and all of that, and then suspended and all of that. There is never here anywhere that so and so is appearing today on charges of required. Something that they, that is why there's this confirmation of corruption at the second place in that discussion. But yeah, I think it's a very important point that we need to say. Thank you very much. Can we get close to you, Matthew?
Thank you, Captain. Let me also thank the IEC for this wonderful report. And I think the President, we have noticed there is really a great improvement from the previous report that we got. I'd like to thank them also for establishing this election center in all the provinces. And I think if my mind tells me well, I heard the CEO saying that they've installed technology whereby parties should be able to know the status of their parties long before the election results are proclaimed. Now, I just want to find out what hampers them from taking this out to the distance. Because I think it should help a lot whereby all these smaller parties. They are always crying out that the elections are being fixed at a lower level. And secondly, I just want clarity on the ATM and SMS facility. I just want to know whether one is being charged to use this facility or is for free. And if this one is being charged, how much is the IEC getting from each inquiry? And what is the overall amount that the IEC has made from all these inquiries? Thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful report that we received. I want to just go back to the delimitation of voting. I heard that the CEO said we are sitting together with the demarcation board. I wonder if you could really talk to the demarcation board, because here the aim was that the voters should be able to reach the voting station. But instead, those voting stations are really a mess. People have been taken in 2000, or let me say in 1994, the mountain, whether the mountain or a river, people were not supposed to cross the river or go jump the mountain to the other side to go and vote. But today, the demarcation board has done, has really changed the world in such a way that older people and even younger people are lazy, or they just feel that there's no more need for them to go there. Because really, it's a distance. People can't meet. I think something should be done to the world. The words are really in a mess. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chen. I just want to find out regarding people who are. Maybe for this period during the election are not employed, but they are like volunteering to do some work for IEC in the voting station. You see, in most instances, this stipend that is being given to them, I don't know whether these people, as they are being taken through the process of workshops, are they told exactly what is it that they are going to get, because of there is this tendency that towards about 10 days before the election or very few days before the election, most of them will then have to withdraw to say, we are not going to take it. that amount of money and so on and so on. And then this time around, it was so close. And then I was very worried in my province to say, but what is happening? If ever maybe the IBC, they are going around Babu Kosana Kaju and stuff here, so many people have withdrawn and so on and so on and so on. So can we work out that very same system and ensure that in enough time they know exactly what are they waiting for and they must be educated on that matter. And then the second thing again is this 11 wards uncontested out of 3,895. I cannot understand this thing. Does it mean that there was no candidate in those wards at all? Does it mean there is a ward, there are 11 wards in this country which do not have a chancellor? I can't understand whether, because of according to my understanding, is that the ruling party has filled candidates in all the wards in the country. Maybe, so if they can unpack this one for us, it's better. And maybe the last but one, the issue of saying we are unable to can make it in time, but the CEO says it is because of the manager, municipal manager of a certain municipality, they don't have us in time, as a result we delay. But I understand to be that the municipal manager is also an MPO. Is he not also accounting to you? Why is it that you are saying he never made it, that they don't take their work serious to the next day? The very last thing, Chairperson, the issue of the venue. Yes, we do have venues like schools and so on and so on. But there is this thing that we will have to look into. We know that we would like to have presiding officers being people who are in charge of this particular building. But there is also another tendency which is like developing. If we are not looking at it very closely, particularly in rural areas. Keys for venues where you will be using something like something which is used by the community or a traditional office, like there is this tendency that you will have to go and beg the chief or the ever, please give us the keys so as we can do this and this. And at some point you get in there, no, there is no even unit in the for electricity. Now let's go and write and buy units or else this and this and this. So it's something that we should also try to look into, because of surely people who are to give out a venue for the election, they should be so neutral, they should not be politically aligned to whatever. Thank you.
Even if the old settlers are not using the fuel spot, it does not
something that we don't have to change about the world. We want that to respect all these things throughout some of these professions. We want that.
A presentation on our financial. The 44 vacancies, yes, Chair, is something that bothers us as well, but as I indicated, we took a conscious decision not to fill in those positions until we have finished the review process. The case of financial misconduct, the facts are given on page 26 of the annual report. The infrastructure for our result center, yes, we have result centers. We have a result center in Pretoria when we have an election, and we have a result center in each province. And we don't have result centers at local government level, because it's quite an expensive infrastructure setup. But in each of our municipal electoral offices, we have IT infrastructure, and we have all our systems also rolled out in our municipal electoral offices. We don't charge the public for using ATM and SMS to check their registration facilities. The registration details, we absorb that cost, and we don't make any money out of it ourselves. The limitation of voting districts, yes, we work quite closely with the demarcation board. Obviously, what we're saying is that there are areas that we still have to look at quite carefully, where the topology is not looked at carefully. When the wards are changed. In fact, it comes from a point where people have to cross the highway, you know, to reach their voting stations. And we thought that we had all that divided by a mountain, and we thought that this time we have sort of addressed those challenges. But if they are still there, then we have to look at it, because they discourage people from going to their voting. Staff volunteers, why do they withdraw at the last minute? In fact, what we do upfront, we tell them how much we're going to pay them. But some of them don't show up. Others, in fact, we have quite a number of challenges for the 2006 election. We found a number of them were actually candidates running for the election. But later was doing something. So we ran our candidate nomination system against our electoral staff system. And we picked quite a number, there were more than 500 who were candidates, and they let me grow. We also have taken a conscious decision that a registered voter will, a person who's not a registered voter will not work in our voting station. So we ran our voter roll system against the electoral staff system, and we find that we're not a registered. We then take you out. So that is why you might have found. But people know actually how much it is. And we need to say to them, we don't pay a certain price. Because if we pay a living wage, really, I think we're going bankrupt. We just give them an incentive for participating. Uncontested wards where there was no competition, where there was just one. Maybe the terminology, maybe we thought it's a money. But where there was just one candidate for one party, with no competition. So it becomes a house. Municipal managers in what capacity are they performing this function in terms of they're all informing us about vacancies? They perform that function as municipal managers. Because they're the ones who speak to the council, they're the ones who know when there's a vacancy, the result of death, the situation, the expulsion of the member, and technically they have to inform us. But for some reason, that system is not operating. Some instances they tell us, others they tell us after 3 months that there's a vacancy. We do have continuous workshops with them, we do engage them at MEC level about this, and at the highest in the council, but we still have to happening up here and there. Presiding officer, you know, running an election is very interesting because it sort of depends a lot on people who are on the ground. There's a checklist that people have to do electronically. Have you signed the contract for the availability of a building they pick? Yes. Do you have the keys? Yes. Is all the infrastructure there? Yes. But when you press the button, your system shows that everything is on check. If you actually don't go there, you find the kind of things that the owner of the I mean, you ask them, have you appointed all your officials? They say yes. When I sit in my office and press the button, everything is order. But because we're dealing with human beings, they just say, oh, it's today and we know that we are going to be on our case. They then fill in the encryption and everything looks perfect on the when it comes out. So those are the, that is why our requirements are that our MEOs, our policies actually go to the ground checking those things at the same time. Because the small thing that you do, if it's not available, it's just to follow the whole election. So it's an area of real punishment which we are waiting on. I don't know.
I just want to make comments that one of the things we have learned from the Mozambicans is the use of domestic observers. And the domestic observers don't go to the areas on the day of the election. They go before the local ones. And they check a lot of these kinds of things that you are talking about, because as the CEO says, everything looks perfect from where we are in Pretoria. But the reality is that an observer of that area will tell you exactly where to go. And the second one that even though you were in the DRC, in the fighting of party agents, we were absolutely impressed. The way they train party agents, they know exactly what to look for, and they were amazing people. In the counting, they were even one up, because some of the counting had to take place early hours of the morning, and you find those party agents absolutely, absolutely alert and counting and not assisting in the operation, but in watching those things where people get people tired, because after a while our staff start work very early, and by midnight it's a little better now because we close our voting stations now a bit earlier. But before, in some areas people have to start counting at midnight. So if we those are some of the things we also need to look at and we see other countries do them.
Just to follow up on that point, the of the first election, and in saying that they well organized, well shaped. And then if you compare the DLC and ourselves, that we have learned from the DLC, what would be the challenge that we have to get ourselves from the party, in the role of parties? Because I think that again is not in the election, how critical party agents will be compared to what we find here.
In my opinion, is that we need to intensify the training and not leave it to the parties until the last minute. For the actual party agents to go through the training and also understand the law. Because if the presiding officer is alone, he's fine in the metro where everybody can read and write and everybody knows the law or something, or they have for some number. But we're talking about areas where we live in a rural area, we don't have anyone who's an expert on some of the laws and things like that. And I think that we are saying that maybe we look at the formal training, seminars, workshops, on a continuous basis. Besides the fact that we have this wonderful CLC committee that we and also to look at our program on training our domestic officers. So that our domestic observer has a different role than an observer coming from Europe or coming from Ghana who goes at the voting station and picks a form. But how our domestic observer can be professionally trained and be able in that area also to act. And the domestic observer themselves with some understanding of some of the basic, you know, electoral laws. I don't mean the kind of the
that the structure, but here that show of today, that vigilance is to be sort of taken away. But yes, with our assurance, we are part of what we will fight as we do our own. But we go in around the issue.
At the same time, this is not the case.
many working very close to one of the factories of the problem. Some of them that feel like it's something that we have to deal with the affairs. What worries me very much is that very soon we'll be launching the smart card. Launching that smart card is the kind of situation that we have. We may have to be focused. The feeling of that position is from that is a surprise. We are going to engage in the department with some of the issues that we have. And he arrived there so that he died. Not only the problem of not being able to go, the trauma that comes from the problem. Not the fact that he died in the world. Not the necessity for God. But I think these are some of the challenges. But yeah, you are very cheap in home affairs on many years. So part of your money is to maintain the world of it. What are these relationships there? How do you tell who are the people who are looking at maintenance of the system between yourself and the home of them? So some point of going to bring it together when we deal with the issue of the community. Really deal with some of the challenges. And then something on that one front now that I'm right and it's still my right there. I know that's obvious already. Before you respond, let's talk about
My last challenge is with Jefferson from IEC side. Many from the youth as matriculators, they are complaining when she comes to election officer. They are saying IEC is appointing teachers in class. Meanwhile, there are many the people who are just typing around.
I think the question that we've been mentioning is one. But I think by now there's and then the yeah, the next question comes to that and followed by
thank you.
Yeah.
Professor, I just want to find out exactly on the very same question that we have been posing of the population register. If I go to the voting station and then I'm told that I'm not alive, I died 2 years ago. The question that I want to know whether am I going to vote? If not, and then at the same time, I am a candidate. What is going to happen? I know I am a registered, I'm a candidate, and then I go to the voting station, I'm told that I'm not alive, am I going to vote? If not, definitely then, my candidacy, where does it stand? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My interpretation, I wanted to make a follow-up problem on this issue which you raised about the relationship between the IEC and the home affairs. This is the thing which I'm going to raise. It seems like this is a little of fun. This is great. Chairperson, I'm really concerned about some of the associates.
like I'll take an example. If you go to the place where I was working, in the constituency where I was working in Bali, we were struggling to get the office of the Home Affairs. Okay. At the end, they tried to bring themselves closer, but you are still facing a challenge. By bringing themselves closer, yes, we had an advantage of using the IBC very close to the municipality. But our challenge is that, how do you address the issue of the people from Khotsi? If I'm not mistaken, from Khotsi to Balfour, it's about 25 kilometers. And then again, from Khrenstadt to Balfour, it's about 27 kilometers. Whereby it's very difficult. While the situation is too thick, and it's very difficult to have an access with the opportunity of the ICC. So, what I wanted to find out from the ICE, what is there for those particular areas which are affected in that condition?
Mine will be on the implication of names from province to province, name from registration to Home Affairs. But what I wanted to edition on my
presentation. Just to respond, I think we wanted that to be a responding down the problem, but sort of encounter around the issue of I think there's a need to look at some of the parties and the other parties today. Because the problem that comes along with the is that at some point we have a well engaged in the Department of Homosexuality. How come we need to? Because we always remember at this point that the relationship between yourself is very substantial. And then we don't know that. Yeah, but just give us a report then. Are you finding that you want to take the decision here?
No, sir,
because I think
I'm satisfied about the report, but I just wanted to find out about something. If you're a member of parliament, are you allowed to be a voting member of parliament?
The law of the party agents were allowed to enter the voting station. Therefore, it does not make a provision for members of parliament unless there's a relationship between the attempt and the local what for the official guy there, which can still recognize you as being a member of parliament. This is what I see sometimes. Not always in the law, but having this relationship with them, it helps a lot because it gives you that opportunity. The same time to over time. But it is less than elections when parliament is being taken for the election. Let me go to the next question. When it no longer exists as a member of parliament, and it is the next election, that's another area. It is a time when parliament now adjourns to the next election, all of us members of parliament. Therefore, the vote card does not work anymore. But for local government elections, I think that's an area that from that relation, local government elections, and in between your five agencies. So, Baba, I think you can hear from them and the experience of the member who is one.
I don't think I'm out of time because I skipped out of the community and I don't want to take things on us, but I have what the English input. On the IEC's appearance. I think if you're going tomorrow, or can you give us some background about the Chapter 9 institution? What was your input, I think you're meeting tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. But perhaps if you could just get the committee to know, maybe in a brief
excellent masters of what we would be talking about.
Yes, yes, many commissioners. Not only the whole body of the stuff.
Thank you, gentlemen. The CEO has alluded to the fact that they forwarded BEE companies some tenders in the IEC. But to be a BEE is one thing, and to be a local is another. So I just want to check as whether are they considering local service providers in those districts that they are providing services, rather than just taking someone from Joburg to go and provide services at Polokwane, when there are some local service providers there. Thank you.
How it has benefited the from the last 10 years.
We have technical committees between IEC and Department of Home Affairs to continuously look at the voters' role vis-à-vis the population. But as you correctly pointed out, I think the Department of Home Affairs still has big challenges insofar as the authenticity of the population registered. And I think it still has issues of the integrity of the data. And that manifests itself particularly when we have certified the voting control. Because that's where our data doesn't balance. And we work closely. Just going to an example that was given, we do find candidates who are not on the voting control because they have. How do we deal with that situation? The candidate comes to us on the spot as we say that. We send them to Home Affairs, but we talk to the officials at Home Affairs to see how they can act. Those children have done this for themselves. In 2006, a young woman went to send to the grade and she was told that she was there. She came to me as a welcome. She was very traumatized because of the news. Absolutely. Very, very traumatized. And she said, here am I am not there. But she couldn't vote because she didn't be on the vote as well, and it was too late for us anything about it. But continuously, Home Affairs has asked me, and our systems are used by the to check that before we certify the vote as well, we run our vote as well against the community. But some cases still come up that they were maybe difficult for us. As long as that ties in both the employed and unemployed voting statements that we've spoken about, we don't have tried to get some unemployed people to work in our voting system. It's the quality of the work that we but also that we get take a person who has not worked and take them into a voting station when they sometimes we need quality control, discipline. We have these young people because elections is hard work, it's long hours. They just walk away. Vote for lunch never comes back. We have had an into balance, but it's never work. I think it's interesting. We find others that have some education. We find that our people, our young people can't read letters of the alphabet. I'm sure you have seen that. We're going to say, I'm talking that here in the second place. We start to look at the, you know, look at the teachers. Or they take a long time, they take some kind of things to the world. We try to link our books of law with our handicraft scanner so that we can check on the health scanner. What number are you on the book of law? So that we can find the number of ATM. but the, for the health and care that it works, not the job, make sure that it works, and you're done that in advance. Don't talk with the patient in the working position and try to make it doesn't work. So these are two critical examples of timing. And it happened many times, but it still makes a difference. So we want people to keep on trying, but at a senior level, providing officer deputy people in the office, we feel that we have to do and some, not experience, but with some experience, you know, for fighting. But we do give unemployment, but we do check our things, we want that. Access to voting stations is another one that we need to have. Every year we increase the number of our voting stations in each country. And we'll continue to do that. And we'll appreciate if members are, honorable members are aware of distance between our voting station offices, portions of our location of our voting stations, which are the technology. If you are aware of those distances, we appreciate it. Here's the answer. Of names on the people. Our system is just that we accept all the people. So we cannot have them do not have names on the people. So the BEE, local service providers, yes, we give local service providers an opportunity. But we also have to be open and plain that in some instances, we don't, especially when you give food, you could talk about food. Just to give an example, to give an example, for service provider, a tender to provide food. He comes to Johannesburg, gets a t-shirt in Johannesburg, of course, he comes out. So while we do, we also look at the type of food that we have. But the food for voluntary operations and not for voluntary, we procure them at local level and our community at the local level also has a responsibility of our working with the community.
And let me just to add to the issue of vote and voice. The other positions we have and the major challenge is the addressing. Because we have a situation where the South Africa will be doing addresses and without addresses. So that is one project which in my own mind I feel that it should be a national project because it involves the post office, the Department of Housing and local government. And because in order for the, in the future, it would be easy for a person to trade at local government when they arrive, wherever they are, they have to have their details changed when they move across. So that's one challenge that we have, but we're working on our side also to improve. The other one is women in the population register. Some women register in their maiden surname, so I'll go and I'll be in Bangalore, and then I'll get married, and then the home affairs, because they have all my details, automatically my surname changes, and when they arrive sometimes, the surname will change, and then the people will say, but you have a different surname, we can't find your name. So those are some of the interesting things. And then you asked a question about the registration, what did we do differently? I think we did this time around focus as well on schools and to make sure that we get young people 18 years to register, and we did a lot of campaigns around tertiary institutions as well to just try and treat the registration of first-time voters. Thank you.
They have asked us 25 questions. They sent us a questionnaire. And amongst they sent us legal, the legal part we are following, whether the institution is able to get enough input from any other bodies. Another area which seems to be of importance to the 25% before the independence of this institution. Some of you might recall that we have one institution that as early as 1999, there was a court case, the 50 case, went through the Constitutional Court of what does it mean our independence, because we're not a government party. On the other hand, we have to go through some form of a committee that was accountable to. And then somebody also had to report to the cabinet. So that area was very much debated, and we actually have sent to the committee this case so that they can look at it and see what was the decision that was made on this question. And then there are painful questions of the budget. And I do want to remind some, you might remember some of you, that in the beginning, because we're a new institution, there were problems of the budget. There are those people who sit in other parts of the world, as long as we get our money from the government, I don't know where we should get it from, we are not independent, but that's neither here nor there. They will also be looking at questions on whether we duplicate our work at Chapter 9. That seems to be an area that they are looking at very carefully. Other things that are done already by the Human Rights Commission or Gender Commission or us that we agree. I think that's one of the areas that we are addressing. And then the question of the appointment of commissions. It seems though we have a different way, as you know, of how we are appointed as commissions. And sometimes there are delays, like the posts are delayed for a couple of months or sometimes a year when those appointments have not been made. Another question that's coming up has to do with governance of these institutions in terms of the responsibilities and functions of commissioners and responsibilities and functions of the administration. Because that remains a very clear area where the commissioners are really policymakers. They are not people who have to do any work related to administration, and that's the obsession that and then, of course, the question that comes all the time, I suppose, that comes to this institution is our own evaluation. Now, I'm also saying this thing for those who have been there before. They also want to get a feel from us. What are some of the things that we think after 9 years or 10 years, whatever, this institution could look at to improve it, to make it easy? Are there laws that need an amendment? And that might have to come from us, not necessarily from them. So those are some of the questions that maybe I don't have a kind of a resume on that. Are there things that commitment that are the way we work with community organizations, I think that Commissioner is just reminding me of some of these. I did talk about the budget and the way we allocate funds, that's also one of the questions that, and the salary structure of our various departments, and also the decentralization of our work. Well, how we work in the provinces as we relate to the various government departments as well as all that. Those are some I haven't covered all the things, but those in general seem to be the two ones that will come to.
Communication that you sent through for the committee to look at. There was an issue.
understand if you get the communication and
Number one, no.
The government and the IEC are on the issue that is needed after the debate on the NFC.
Well,
that was
the last night. About
part of what would be that you have made the number of players in the therefore, we have now to get the financial and then we'll that to the teaching and we've already started to retrieve the data. Okay.
Well,
I'm
just going
to you still have a question?
No, Chuck, I would like to have a break to express my legs before finance.
I'm going to can we have another 5 minutes? You are asking for everybody to think that they have a question. Oh yeah, let's have 5 minutes right there.
senator's name is Zorita Mahuri. If I may tell you. I would like the community in the house to run through it at a high level. Yeah, I'm sure for the spirit that I made. Okay, first. Then we go later, we're going to spread out this year. The slide that is on the at the front of us gives the type of the spirit on the third column. And we look at the spirit that I've indicated on each of those different items. The second column includes the budgeted amount for that chapter. And then the third column indicates the difference between the budget and the actual. The last column is the variance. The total expenditure is 93,256. In the total collection, in the handout, the amount is actually 93,220. The correct amount is 93,256. The amount is correct. So the total budget for the year was 904.4 million, and the actual expense is 903 million, given us a surplus of 41.3 million. If we can go back, click the detail. If we can go back to page 79 of the annual report, so that we can look at the detail. Let me stop there, we will find that. The parliamentary allocation is 944,268. And the next one, 19.3, that is partial tax. And the amount of 18.5 million for interest is sponsorship income 700,000, then some other income of 900,000. Amount of 904,000. Now, if we look at the personnel expenditure, we have a personnel expenditure of 237 million, which consists of we have a personnel expenditure of 237.8 million, which consists of salaries paid to staff, permanent staff. 7 million, temporary staff is 1 million, but under temporary staff we've got different types of temporary staff salaries. 9 million for the education and 7 million for the CPR and other types of employees. With plus the amount we pay to any of the agents, sometimes 6.9 million. We have other remuneration related expenses which are listed below the one that says 641. Which is for instance for overtime, gratuities of 4.8, which is before 15 and 50 million dollars, and employer contributions of 5.9. That is the makeup of the 237 million personal expenditure. Then we have what is called administration expenditure, which is 263 million. It consists of all those details. Those other minor expenses indicated there. For instance, substitution expenses is 136 million, which is split between registration staff and election staff and others. And then we also have transport expenses of 47 million, which consists of all those small amounts that are indicated there. Then we have air transport for 4.6 million, and communication expenses for 20 million, and so on. Then we have catering expenditure, 11.4 million, which includes 1.2 million for the local development and water education, and so on until we get the business relations training. Then we have membership and registration of professional bodies, some insurance, some cases of insurance, and 30 million for conferences and workshops, broken down into different types of conferences. Then separating we have printing, artisanal and other suppliers, which is reflected as stock in the other side. And then we have equipment, and equipment 11,464. Plus land and building, which is 46 million. And then professional and other services, all this amount of money that we pay to professional and other services, which comes to 272.9 million. Then we have depreciation of 23.2 million. And we have deficit on disposal of assets, 36 million. And which gives us a total of 923,200,000. And if we compare that to the budget, we find that it is separate of the budget. The person of that is the
question. Requirements for the future. What will be the initial relations by foreign things? Will that have to continue? Will you provide, you know, that for your own budget? That's one issue. And then I think there's a question of 4 million rand for research. In the previous year, there was nothing. I just want to know if it's got to do with the implementation process, but what exactly?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to start with this one of poverty demand. I just want to find out from the budget section how much have you budgeted, because now you have experience of poverty demand, which was not budgeted before. My second question, Chairperson, is the donation from poverty. Our previous budget used to be provinces donated money to IEC. That's what I find out, and it's still receiving donation from province.
Funding through the development of foreign assets is something that is on the table between us and the creditors, how it should be treated. Originally, because it was something that happened once in a blue moon, or didn't happen at all, we were never bothered about it, we just treated it as ordinary relation. But now there's some indications that the creditors might want us to have some interest in the budget. We have not finalized that. So, the provincial donation, we're no longer receiving provincial donation. So, since the issue was raised, the matter was taken up.
Thank you.
standard for international work that we do. I think in addition to what in our table, I think we need to distinguish between, you know, budgets that we are given to provide massive technical assistance to a country like the DRC. Obviously, that came out of a bilateral agreement that was signed between South Africa and the DRC. So that is why the money came to the country from the DRC. But if you think that from the work that we undertake as the IDC on our own, we include that in our budget for observer mission, for technical exchange programs, because we also have to only take our staff to go to Nigeria, as the Nigerian Mexican coming, or staff working in Kenya, then we use our budget. But for big projects like the DRC and the Comoros, which are not too expensive, we use just over 1 million. But for the DRC, I think because the total of 140 million, so obviously,
On the salary expenditure, the 173 for 2005 to 237, is that when you talk salary, is that permanent staff? Because I see you see in this allocation that I see there, I'm not sure if they are on the permanent staff and temporary staff, that is, it does cover in the workforce. And this increase of over 6 million. Yes. So that elaborates the
okay. The 173 is the whole total salary bill for 2005.
Right. Increase to
237. So everybody, everything that is salary wise. So if you look at the headline below, for permanent staff in 2005, the salary was 54 million. The 2007 became 57. And for temporary staff, it was 25, in 2005, it was 1 in 2005. Because 2006 was the election. So we find that the figures in 2006 are always higher because it will be less in.
How much is the plan that the AMC is? How much is the AMC on the permanent?
Around about 200.
And now the allocation for the running of the IC salary is the one that is for. Then what is the normal was for salary that are paid to permanent staff? Like when they without looking at the, you know, election year. In between what is the one for? This is the one of the 67 million. I mean the one for the 64 million. 64 million. So the increase was about 3 million. Which you employ extra, how many people do you employ?
Oh, that could be some vacancies
we're
here.
But you still have 44 vacancies that are not filled, but they are budgeted for. So you carry over that money in your shop. Where does it reflect that one for you? Okay. Or it reflects from that one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is only one issue, which I need a little clarity.
The previous report from the IEC spoke about the one person which was charged or given for money embezzlement or financial embezzlement. So my question is that I wanted to find out whether that activity or that action did make any impact concerning the state budget, because we don't know how much was it.
No, if you read the Amos report, this is the Amos report, you are referred to page
18.
Yes, go to page 18. You will see that the letter
is 13 in the
bottom. Even 10 in the
On page 77, and I would like maybe if you can give an example to illustrate the point under legal claims, you say that the Electoral Commission has a number of civil investigation claims against it. Now, while there's no material liability, you anticipate no legal liability, perhaps just give an example of what is the nature of any claim that just to get us to understand in the course of your work, what is the kind of thing, who would you, would it be civil society, looking the claim, or private individuals? And then just out of curiosity, in your whole income and expenditure statement, the word other is used under every category, and I'm sure there's a reason for it, but I'm very curious, because under every category, transport, we know it's for voter education, it's for legislation, and then it's other. And if we look at catering, we know who is, and then it's other. So, you know, I'm sure there's a reason for it, but it's just, you know, charity.
The legal thing is out of all the operators. Last year was an election year, and we had a number of legal things. Supply of light cruiser to a service provider. That service provider was transferring for another service provider. So we paid the first service provider. The real owner came and wanted to pay the service and said nobody can pay the person to supply. And they brought us to the person. They support the machine they taken for the protective legal action.
The question of the other. I agree that it is actually something that was happening. But if you look at the, if you were to break this thing down, you get a very, very big level. So it's a collection of smaller accounts which cannot separately be meaningful. For instance, if you look at the conference in Russia on page 80 at the bottom. You have the second line from the bottom of the other.
Not that conference in Russia.
Basically, we have conference in Russia for democracy, government, CEO, any of the government, any statement, communication. Then there's the other. That means we have some small workshop for a small group of people which is not included in those main accounts. So basically, each time we find other, we find a collection of small accounts.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is a follow-up on the previous one.
regarding the donation of property. On page 71, the Limpopo provincial government has donated a certain amount of money to IDC and Western Cape Department of Local Government. The answer we got from the IDC, they are saying they discourage donation of property. My follow-up question, Chairperson, I just want to find out whether IDC is going to build houses to the very same province for housing, because budget was budgeted for housing in those provinces, not for IEC, because IEC is having its own budget of us.
Thank you, Captain. My question is related to the very issue raised by Corti. Corti is that I held in trust. I'm sure it's an amount of 22 million. That the commission is still to utilize in accordance with the contractual arrangement. Am I right? Or on page 71. My question is, since we have so much money in the trust account, is it, are we complying with the TFMA regulations, or, you know, we are not, to have such an amount of money in the trust without being
Some kind of a handout that the money is out. You know,
tell us how the decision of this
So you have a program. If you can call upon yourself to give us a program, a team that you will give us. So can we agree that we will get this program?
I think we have to explain some of the amount. Okay. The 5 million from the Department of Foreign Affairs is what's given to us. For the young people, before the end of transition. Because of the election, we could not, because of our own election, we could not send them. We could only send them after our own election. We started in earnest with the young people children after our local government. That is why the time when we chose the vote, you know, we still have. You know, a lot of money for salary was for the year. So we have since then the Netherlands and the Irish donation. Part of the money that came in quite late, I must say, we found that the money was given to us for the education, and we could not spend all of it before the end of the election. So there was a rollover. We made them aware of that, and they have still come back to us to see that we can spend that money on other projects. Limpopo local government, I think we need to be very upfront about this. The last time we talked about this, we didn't have a plan on donations from government. We then adopted the policy after we made a presentation to the honorable, and the policy. We will accept the money, provided it was voted on properly in terms of the law by the authority concerned, by the legislature. It can't just be a department giving us money. We have to go through the legislature, and the legislature has a vote to donate that money. And in this case, the department came because they say to us, we think that we need more funds for voter education, and that there can't be enough funds for voter education, and to reach out as many people as possible. Now, who is right? We say we discourage, but they say to us, we have weaknesses here and there, and they have not reached here and there, so we want to give you money so that you do your work. And maybe time has come for us to look at our policy. The problem and say we are not going to accept the money because truth is also we have a role over ourselves actually taking money from other people when we have a role over is a problem. Maybe something that the community take a definitive decision from the
can I agree that there is going to be a comment on that matter? We don't have a situation where there's interference through donations. I understand foreign donations, but domestic donation becomes problematic. Look at local government, say, Western states. They may have some campaigns and they just give them money. I'm just making that's an example. But
clearly that we do not want to have such situation. If we provide allocation to this independent body, therefore this body, I don't see, having to take from government again, but having to take this one for the donations again. I think it's something that let's engage about it as part of our deliberation in the house. We want to raise this issue. We cannot try and have this body as independent as possible. Because tomorrow you'll be told that we will give you money, you not implement this, and therefore, I mean, we'll take over. As part of the they do their election work, you know, ongoing election work, I mean, we will have a decision and all that. We separate from the body, you know, the commission. And which we have it with them, you know, different democrats and speaking mark. But this direct allocation is very problematic sometimes. But I think concern of members is that they can do and then look at that and come back. Again, with the policies that we have, come back again to the committee. This policy, so that we can then look at the policies that we have developed, you know, and then we can reinforce it or whatever that contribution that we can make as members of parliament into that work. Not directly involving ourselves, but obviously, Parliament thinks that over time, work, very important, we can share with us the quality of the executive process. Because they are still in our hands. But also, we are included by one. Oh, no, we're not one. Included by one.
No,
it's
just the same.
Inga, are you okay? Inga, today I want to.
I'm because of the water.
Do you want water or?
Thank you for your.
No, the only thing I wanted to sensitize the IEC is that we must be careful. Even one cent is very much important. I'll cite an example for you. In one of our conferences, the ANC conference, it couldn't move for 2 to 4 hours, whereby we wanted an explanation of 1 cent which was not accounted for.
Thank you, Chair. If we can maybe get an explanation on this, what is page 73? I'm looking at staff costs. You have your wages and salary and remuneration. I think it's something else. And then you have here your this column which deals with employer contribution. What does it actually mean? This employer contribution. And if ever maybe also we can get some clarity on issues of cost. On the cost of running a cool, where does it appear here, those cool government bodies and so on? Is that program up and running? And then what was the cost if ever maybe it is up and running? No, there was this proposal that the IEC was also going to assist in the election of the school governing body.
Oh, okay.
If ever maybe a program is up and running, how much does it cost us as IEC in running the thing? If it is here, maybe we can have it as reflected.
School governing bodies election.
And copper, yes.
Yes, and quarters. Yes. SRC, whatever.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Can you respond? I think those are the last
still are members of the very national. Our civilians are members of the very national. So, I think we can do that.
already they are moving, you know, that's why of having involved now this point. As but you say let me gain that we get everything will be called upon to present it to somebody and we get to say of the police. The role of your international obligation is causes a lot of pressure. The body, very small body, you run very information, but you are still a very small body. We have to look at this allocation of your international obligation. It must not be a project allocation, you know, but there must be a way of having a fund that can help you and be able to account. Because even now that Corona has gives you 12 billion rand, we don't not very much clear accounting again of those money. I want maybe propose that we have a particular system where we'll engage with Parliament and Treasury around the allocation of the IEC. To expand, to grow, you know, wonderful program that we are putting in place to pension of certain to educate the people. But if there's no, you know, standard way of allocating, it makes it very difficult for you and come up with clear programs. Because in between elections, there's a standard allocation that you give you. When they bring the elections, then the money increases after and goes back again to zero. I think these are things that for the past 10 years we definitely have to openly engage, and especially with this information of a chapter 9 institution. We want to participate to understand, in fact, of your responsibility, the roles and all of that. Therefore, you will inform us how one is the allocation of your current two accounts to one committee, two committees in Parliament. There's another committee which you account to. So it will be important to sort of work very, very closely in trying to identify some of the challenges that are going on. Because most of the time, when we meet with you, there are challenges, you know, and this foreign issue becomes a very sort of challenge that we are caught upon to be running all over the world, you know, and then that one itself causes a lot of strain to you. The issue is very important to your officials. I think that you may think it's very light, but it's a very sort of issue. Because here you're looking at the machinery that you're putting in place. And if that machinery gets run, you know, on its way by losing people, getting sick and all of that, I think it's a cause for concern. Therefore, there's a need, rather than looking at an outsider to come and help you, look at yourself as, I mean, you have put every single living system in place, but these things are not working out. Come and share with us, because we have not yet said that as the community that exactly this is what we have put in place. So try and give support to our people, our machinery, that is doing the IEC. Therefore, there will be a need this time to look at that question. Before you go, because what motivates you sometimes, you want to go outside, is because you have money. Therefore, you know, we have money, we can invite any institution to come and take over and run with this thing. Because we have money. But if we get in a situation where we don't have money, you know, as a family here, if I have a problem, I will not hesitate to go to hold it, and hold, you know, this is my problem. Why is it not possible for this official to talk to the senior management? There's a problem somewhere. There's a problem somewhere. Because if we are in the organization and we cannot be able to communicate our issues, then first of all, it's a concern. We need to look at that. We need to look at the support that we give to the individuals to join them all over the world. You know, they come, they go there, malaria and all of these things, we come back and we don't look into the welfare of our officials. Therefore, I think the call for concern that came out today out of the city. But without really a going further, the committee is very satisfied. And the committee will, I will call for the abortion of the authority and the commission report. And they go, so that we don't have to come back again and meet with the committee.
Yes. Yes.
Unless there's something that the members will be. Can I, before I call for the adoption of this report, can I get any
Thank you.
don't have money to give you,
yes.
But the ways that are here, confirm that the way that I can.
But,
oh, wait.